Welcome. You are listening to the Audio Information Network of Colorado. This recording is intended to be used solely by individuals with barriers to print.
I'm going to start off today with a recipe from smittenkitchen.com for spaghetti with chorizo and almonds. I cooked dinner Wednesday night for the first time in over a week, and I blame the babka. Oh, and also the red velvet cake. And since we're pointing fingers, that noodle kugel is looking a little guilty too, isn't it? And three-hour tortillas busted as well. Here's the thing with taking on more ambitious cooking projects. When I'm done, even though the thought of a quick dinner and couscous seemed outrageous, I mean, we just worked our way through a pile of dishes that could rival that of a diner on the corner after the leather bars let out. And now you suggest I chop some green onions? Are you mad? Bring on the bacon Bartha. Eventually, however, I cave. I miss controlling what goes down our gullets. A recipe piques my interest, and in this case, it was a chance to revisit Fideos after my last fairly disappointing experience. This beauty from the July Gourmet didn't include the original combination that wowed me at the Little Owl. But what is not to love about chorizo, almonds, chickpeas, and saffron? I also did something so completely unlike me. I created a recipe that I knew others hadn't gone wild over. See, here, you can read for yourself in the comments. But I loved these ingredients so much, I couldn't ignore the craving. And, well, the reviewers were right. The recipe needs some tweaking. But it was also delicious, buttery, winey, and multi-textured and flavored. Not wanting to skitter myself out of the kitchen for another week by cooking, the horror, more than one dish at a time, I added some baby spinach to create more of a one-pot meal feel. Next time, I'd add more, plus some chopped fresh tomato at the end. I also might double the chorizo, as its presence seemed mighty sparse in such a big dish. And I'd definitely kick up the spice, either adding a pinch of red pepper flakes or a minced hot pepper in with the onions or a teaspoon of smoky hot paprika somewhere then or after. Yet, I think we all know that there is only one true test of whether a dish was good enough to repeat, despite its flaws, and that is by its leftovers appeal. I woke up the next morning and grumbled that I was out of yogurt, and I thought, ooh, but I get to eat fideos for lunch. And there you have it. Here is the recipe, spaghetti with chorizo and almonds, adapted from Gourmet of July 2007, an oldie but a goodie. As I mentioned above, my suggestions are to add more spice in the form of hot paprika, red pepper flakes, or a minced hot pepper, double the chorizo, and to saute in a few cups of baby spinach and one chopped tomato in the last 2 minutes. Of course, since I haven't tested these things to my satisfaction, I'm giving you the original recipe below and my encouragement that you spread your wings and fly, 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 little bird. I can't wait to hear what you come up with. So this serves four. You'll need 1.5 cups of reduced sodium chicken broth, 1.5 cups of water, 1/2 cup of dry white wine, 1/2 teaspoon of crumbled saffron threads, 2 tablespoons of extra virgin olive oil, plus additional for drizzling, 6 garlic cloves, thinly sliced, 4 ounces of Spanish chorizo, cured spiced pork sausage, not hot, cut into 1/2-inch pieces. You'll need 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, cut in 2 pieces, 1 medium onion, finely chopped, 12 ounces of fideos, which are dried coiled vermicelli noodles, or angel hair pasta, or thin spaghetti broken into 2-inch lengths. You'll need 1 14-to-9-ounce can of chickpeas, rinsed and drained, 1/2 cup of chopped flat leaf parsley, 1/2 cup of sliced almonds with skins, toasted. You're going to bring the broth, water, wine, saffron, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt to a boil in a small saucepan, and then reduce the heat and keep at a bare simmer. Heat the oil in a 5-to-6-quart heavy pot over medium-high heat until it shimmers. Then saute garlic until pale golden, about 30 seconds. Transfer with a slotted spoon to paper towels to drain. Add chorizo and saute until golden brown, about 3 minutes. Transfer with a slotted spoon to paper towels with garlic. Add butter to the pot and saute onion until golden, about 5 minutes. Then add pasta and saute, breaking up fideos with a wooden spoon until golden, about 4 minutes. Add broth mixture and cook, covered, until all liquid is absorbed, about 6 minutes. Stir in the chickpeas, chorizo, garlic, parsley, and salt and pepper to taste. And serve the pasta sprinkled with almonds and drizzled with oil. Now we're going to get into some of our new material. So excited. This from theblindcook.com. And just to give you an introduction, if you're not familiar with this blog and website, this is Christine Ha. And Christine Ha is the blind cook who won MasterChef Season 3 with Gordon Ramsay. Her first cookbook, Recipes from My Home Kitchen, was a New York Times bestseller. She has spoken about disability advocacy at the United Nations, served as a culinary arts envoy overseas for the American Embassy, and was a co-host on the Canadian cooking show Four Senses and a judge on MasterChef Vietnam. Ha holds a Master of Fine Arts from the Creative Writing Program at the University of Houston, where she served as fiction editor for Gulf Coast Literary Journal, and a Bachelor of Business Administration from the University of Texas at Austin. Ha received the 2014 Helen Keller Personal Achievement Award from the American Foundation for the Blind, a recognition formerly bestowed upon Ray Charles, Patty Duke, and Stevie Wonder, among others. She also serves on the Board of Trustees for the global nonprofit Helen Keller International. Ha's first restaurant in Houston, The Blind Goat, was named a semi-finalist for 2020 Best New Restaurant in America by the James Beard Foundation. She was also named a James Beard finalist for Best Chef in Texas in 2022 and a semi-finalist for Outstanding Chef in 2023 for her former restaurant, Chin Chow. I hope I pronounced that correctly. It's X-I-N-C-H-A with a backwards accent O. Ha's third concept, Stuffed Belly, opened in June of 2023. So this from theblindcook.com. We've got, let's see. I apologize. I've got some stuff here from The Blind Kitchen, but this one is from The Blind Cook. We started this last week, but I didn't get to finish of all of the things that you can do on a griddle. And that is the last one that I didn't get to was hash browns. If you're on the run and you want to make some hash brown patties, then you'll need only 10 minutes to cook some hash brown patties. You're going to start by grating the potatoes, squeezing them between paper towels to remove any moisture, and the griddle has to be preheated at 300 degrees. You're going to place chives, salt, pepper, parsley, and the grated potatoes in a bowl, and then toss them well. You're going to drizzle some oil on the griddle, and then make patties from the potato mixture, and each side of the patties has to be cooked for 5 minutes until it turns golden brown. The bottom line, you don't have to cook pancakes in order to use your griddle. In fact, with a little imagination, you could cook anything you can think of. There's really not that much experience required to cook on such kitchenware, especially when it comes to electric griddles. Just follow a recipe closely, not pancakes, preheat your griddle, and then start cooking. But here's another sponsored post, this one February 14th. How to keep your kitchen clean while cooking. You know, it's hard to keep the kitchen clean when you're in the middle of making a meal. Then afterwards, you can't even exhale and fully enjoy your food with that sink full of dirty dishes. Then there are the counters, stovetop, appliances, and floor, which you might need a portable carpet cleaner to clean any spills or crumbs. Here are a few tips to keep your kitchen as clean as possible during cooking and minimize the amount of work that you have to do after you're done. Using a garbage bowl. Walking back and forth between the trash can and sink with your hands either wet or full of scraps is a nightmare. One second, you're simply getting rid of some ingredient leftovers, and next, your kitchen floor is all sticky. Try keeping a large bowl on your counter where you can easily consolidate any cooking waste. Moreover, a bowl on the countertop will also save you a lot of time walking back and forth. It only takes a couple of seconds to empty it once you're done. Next, being a slow cooker. Believe it or not, being a slow cooker can actually help you make less of a mess in the kitchen. You may think that if you cook faster, you'll have plenty of time to properly clean the kitchen afterwards, but why wouldn't you avoid making a mess in the first place? Take your time measuring, chopping, and so on, and don't try to do too much at once as you may end up with ingredients everywhere. Next, cleaning as you go. You've probably heard people say that you should clean the kitchen as you go. It's ideal to clean a spot right after you get it dirty. If you use a bowl of warm soapy water to wipe down your workspace before you start cooking, whatever you drop on it will gather in one place. Picking things up immediately. You should never leave something on the floor after you drop it, thinking that you'll just clean it after, especially if it's something sticky. Depending on the ingredient, it may also stain your carpet or floor. Have a portable carpet cleaner, vacuum, or broom and dustpan prepared to pick up anything that you drop, even the things that roll under the cabinet. Changing where the trash can goes. If the garbage bowl mentioned above does not handle one of your particular cooking projects, then you'll still have to rely on your trash can. To make things easier, you can simply remove it from under the counter or out of the cupboard and place it in front of the sink or the countertop. If you do the latter, you can also just scrub things straight into the trash can from the countertop. Soapy water to go. Prepare a squirt bottle of soapy water that you can use on spots, dirt, and stains. And with such a bottle, you won't feel like you need to waste time turning on the water faucet. Just simply grab your bottle and place a piece of cloth, and squirt and wipe. Cleaning your kitchen while cooking is not hard at all. You just have to identify the moments when you can actually leave the stove to clean the sink or wipe the cutting board or the countertop. If you make a conscious effort to clean as you cook, you'll be less stressed afterwards when you're too tired from a food coma to finish cleaning. All right, next we are going to move on to theblindkitchen.com. Since we're in the holiday season, let's have a recipe for eggnog. Eggnog is elegant and tasty. This recipe produces a rich, creamy eggnog. For the adult version, add 1 tablespoon of rum. Many people prefer spiced or dark rum. Recipe tip: be sure to use pasteurized eggs. If you're using fresh eggs or are not comfortable consuming raw egg whites, reheat the mixture after you add the meringue. The result will be less rich, but we want you to be comfortable and stay healthy. Recipe tip: this recipe has 2 basic steps. First, you're going to make the warmed yolk portion, and then second, you're going to make a meringue mixture. Then the two are mixed for a rich, creamy beverage. It's going to yield 8 10-ounce servings. The ingredients are 8 large eggs at room temperature, 1 cup of heavy cream, 2 cups of whole milk, 1/2 cup of sugar for yolks, 1/4 cup of sugar for meringue, 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of molasses, 1/4 teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/8 teaspoon of ground cloves, 1/2 teaspoon of Chinese 5-spice blend, a pinch of salt, and 8 tablespoons of rum or brandy of your choice. This is optional. And 8 cinnamon sticks for garnish. This is also optional. Or 8 candy canes for garnish, also optional. And whipped cream for garnish, also optional. So you can read how to get the perfect dollop in our library, and we're going to actually read that next. Here's the method. Step 1, you're going to separate 8 eggs. Keep the whites and yolks in separate containers, set aside. The TBK tool, that means the blind kitchen, is an egg separator. And you can get that egg separator on theblindkitchen.com, as well as other places, I'm sure. Recipe tip, be very careful to make sure the egg whites are placed into a clean, flat, fat and grease-free mixing bowl. If there's any fat in the bowl, it will prevent the egg white protein's ability to bond together correctly and form the nice peaks that you desire. Recipe tip number two, break each egg into a small bowl to make sure that the yolk does not break. When you know for sure the yolk has remained unbroken, transfer the yolk to a larger dish. Breaking each egg separately also allows you to check the egg whites with your fingertip to be sure any small pieces of eggshell can be felt and removed before adding the egg whites to a larger bowl. Step number two, prepare your spice blend and set aside. Tools for this are a mini box grater, dry measure spoons, and a salt cellar. You're going to combine 1/4 of teaspoon of ground nutmeg, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/8 teaspoon of ground cloves, and 1/2 teaspoon of Chinese 5 spice blend, and a pinch of salt. For step 3, in a large heavy bottom saucepan, you're going to add 2 cups of milk, 1 cup of heavy cream, and 1/2 cup of sugar. Keep the heat very low and warm to about 140 degrees, stirring very often. TBK tools, a talking thermometer, wet measure cups, and a long wood spoon. Recipe tip, do not allow the milk and heavy cream to boil. They will separate and the mixture will be ruined. Another recipe tip, use a long wood spoon for this step. You can leave the spoon in the pan for the entire process and avoid making a mess transferring the spoon back and forth to a spoon rest. Also, the handle is long enough that it cannot drop down into the pan. Step 4, add the spice blend to the pan and mix. Step 5, add the 2 teaspoons of pure vanilla extract and 1/2 teaspoon of molasses to the pan and stir. TBK tool, wet measure spoons. Step number 6, you're going to temper the 8 blended egg yolks and add to the mixture. Recipe tip, if you add the room temperature egg yolks directly to the hot milk mixture, they will become scrambled and ruin the eggnog. To avoid this, you must temper the eggs, that is, slowly warm them so that they more closely match the temperature of the milk mixture in the pan. To do this, ladle a small portion of the hot milk mixture, 1 tablespoon or so at a time, into the blended egg yolks. Add more warm milk as necessary, a tablespoon at a time. Stir and check with your fingertip to see when the yolks are quite warm. Then add the warm yolks to the egg mixture. Step number 7, continue to stir and heat the mixture over very low heat until it reaches 180 degrees. Remove the mixture from the heat and allow it to cool. Recipe tip, stir the mixture often after taking it off the heat source for about 5 minutes until the bottom of the pan has cooled a bit, as it will continue to cook until the pan cools. Recipe tip, this is a good time to add the rum or brandy if you choose to do so. It will help to cool the yolk mixture. TBK tool, an auto measure spout. Recipe tip, use the Blind Kitchen's auto measure spout to measure out the perfect 1 tablespoon portion of rum or brandy for each adult drink. After the mixture has cooled, strain it to remove any lumps. And as far as the TBK tool for that, there's a straining system available. Recipe tip, pour the slightly warm mixture into a refrigerator-safe container that can be easily shaken. And step number 3, chill thoroughly about 3 hours and shake periodically. Step 9, make the meringue. You're going to use a hand or stand mixer to whip the 8 room temperature egg whites and 1/4 cup sugar until the mixture forms soft peaks. Recipe tip, you're going to wait to make the meringue mixture until the yolk mixture has cooled completely and you're ready to serve. If you make the meringue too soon, the air that is in the peaks will escape, leaving you with a less attractive and rich mixture. Step 10, gently fold the meringue into the egg yolk mixture until the mixture is homogeneous. Adjust the seasonings if needed. And then step 11, you're going to pour into 8 serving glasses or cups. Top with a dollop of whipped cream using TBK's The Perfect Dollop, post as a guide. And add a candy cane and or a cinnamon stick for a special touch. So next up, the Blind Kitchen offer.com offers adaptive tools, helpful strategies, and specialized knowledge to blind and visually impaired people who want to cook safely, confidently, and independently. Our collections are available online, as are our short instructional videos. Shipping is always free, and everyone has a place at the table in the Blind Kitchen. Now we're going to learn about that perfect dollop. It's the holiday season and we have pies on our minds, but do not want whipped cream on our fingers. The Blind Kitchen has the answer. The whipped cream problem. Vision impaired cooks cannot see the pie and don't want to touch the whipped cream with their fingers, making it difficult to put an attractive dollop on a piece of pie. So the perfect dollop solution, you can use a wide mouth funnel and a portion scoop. Put the funnel right where you want it on the piece of pie with a smaller circle on the top of the pie piece and the larger circle of the funnel facing the ceiling. It will not leave marks if you use the lightweight plastic ones. The Blind Kitchen has these as part of the straining system in our Stovetop collection, or you can purchase the wide mouth funnel straining system individually. Scoop the whipped cream into the portion scoop and deposit into the center of the funnel that you have placed on top of the pie where you want the whipped cream to land. The width size of the canning funnel makes it a nice target. The whipped cream will stay in the center of the funnel as it is trapped there. Then use a portion scoop. The Blind Kitchen has a 1 ounce portion scoop, which is a nice amount for an average piece of pie. Finally, use a small silicone spatula to run around the top of the lump of whipped cream, drawing it into an attractive swirl. When you are finished, pull the funnel straight up and the whipped cream will be exactly where you want it and it will have an attractive swirl on it. Use a portion scoop also using it also ensures that each dessert guest will have the same portion and look. I'm going to end today's show with a recipe from Smitten Kitchen for my favorite lentil salad. My friend Olga makes a lentil salad that nobody can stop eating. Yes, lentils, a salad. I can feel your skepticism through this computer screen. It's my single superpower. But please feel assured that I would never lie to you about lentils especially. Her recipe is one of the greatest Trader Joe hacks of all time. You need 1 package of their prepared lentils, 1 jar of their bruschetta topping, and then Olga always adds more chopped tomatoes, cilantro, and avocado. The only change that I make at home is that instead of using the jarred topping, I use a half batch of my quick, easy salsa, which is a quick blend of white onion, garlic, cilantro, jalapeno, and lime that turns the most basic can of tomatoes into a perfect bowl of salsa. Here's the dressing. We add hot sauce to taste, and then we scoop it up with tortilla chips, usually standing in the kitchen. It's one of my favorite workday lunches, and it's absolutely not right or fair that I've taken as long as I have to tell you about it. You can send all sternly worded letters of dismay directly to the editor, that would be me, and she will nod her head in full agreement. I can't wait for you to get hooked on this too. Here is the recipe for my favorite lentil salad. It serves 4 to 6. It takes 15 minutes with prepared lentils, and the source is Smitten Kitchen. You'll need 2.5 cups of cooked, cooled, small green, brown, or black lentils. 1 28-ounce can of whole tomatoes. 1/2 of a large or 1 small white onion, chopped. 1 to 2 fresh jalapenos to taste, chopped. 2 cloves of garlic, chopped. 1 cup of chopped fresh cilantro leaves, divided. 1 teaspoon of kosher salt. Freshly ground black pepper. 1 lime, juiced, plus more to taste. 1 large, firm, ripe avocado, diced. and 2 cups, that's about a 12-ounce package of cherry tomatoes, halved or quartered, and hot sauce to taste, and tortilla chips for serving. This is optional. You're going to set a strainer set over a bowl to catch juices and pour the can of tomatoes into the strainer. If the tomatoes look full, i.e. whole and intact, press on them a bit to release more juice. Then you're going to place the onion, jalapeno, and garlic in a blender or a food processor and run it in the machine in short bursts until they're smaller bits. You're going to add 2/3, you can just eyeball it, 2/3 of the cilantro, the drained tomatoes, salt, and juice of 1 lime, and run the machine until the tomatoes are well chopped but not totally smooth. When making salsa for scooping up with chips, I will add some of the reserved tomato juices, 1 tablespoon at a time, if the mixture is very thick. But to dress this lentil salad, we don't want it very thin. You're going to adjust the seasoning to ensure that it's robust enough to dress the lentils, adding salt, pepper, and more lime juice if needed to taste. Place the lentils in a big bowl, and if they're from a vacuum pack, you're going to use your fingers to break up the clumps. I find that a spoon or fork damages the lentils too much. You can add 1.5 cups of the tomato mixture to the lentils and stir to combine, and then taste and add more salsa to taste. I usually go with a full 2 cups. You're going to season with salt and black pepper to taste and add more lime juice if desired. Add avocado, tomatoes, and reserved cilantro and stir gently to combine. Serve with hot sauce and tortilla chips if you wish. Leftovers keep for 5 days in the fridge. So here's some notes. Let's talk about lentils. It's the best kind to use in salads are those that do not fall apart when cooked. My favorites are small green. They are often sold as lentils de puy. I believe that's how it's pronounced. D-U-P-U-Y. Or small brown lentils, sometimes called castelluccio. Or even black lentils. Cook them in salted water according to their package directions or whatever your favorite way to cook lentils is, and then cool them before using. Here I'm using 1 17.6-ounce package of Trader Joe's steamed and fully cooked lentils, a truly perfect product. If you're using an immersion or regular, i.e. not a high-powered like a Vitamix blender instead of a food processor to make the salsa, it helps to start with more finely chopped onion, garlic, and jalapeno. As written, roughly chopped is fine, presuming the machine will be mulching it further for us. Deb, why are we making a full batch of salsa when we will only use half? Well, because I want you to be able to add more to taste, and because I'm thrilled to have extra for tacos, for eggs, for chips. You could have the tomatoes and other salsa ingredients, but I don't want you to come up short if you want more than it makes. And the last note, when making the salad with an eye towards leftovers for future lunches, I'll often leave the avocado out so that it doesn't get soft or discolored in the fridge. It's still 100% okay to eat, but it just doesn't look as cute. Instead, I will add some each time that I eat it. Thank you for joining us for Food and Stuff. My name is Gretchen Miller.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aincolorado.org or by calling 303-786-7777.